Blog Talk Radio.
A new strength
and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua, mighty Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother Elvis Zapata. I hope everyone can hear me fine. Thank you, Lord. If you hear me low, let me know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to make sure we are heard. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to bring the word of the Lord. Amen. The message of the Lord in the last days before the return of Jesus. Amen. For his bride that have made herself ready. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. We're living in the last of the last before the shofar sound, the trumpet sound, going to sound. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Years ago, the Lord showed me that before the trumpet sound, about 15 to 16 years ago, I remember going to work, and the Lord showed me, hallelujah, that I will be working with people. And before the trumpet sound, the shofar, in a dream he showed me, hallelujah, thank you, brother. There will be, he brought me here into the United States. It did not look pretty. But those that we were walking together, as time was going by, or those that was listening to the ministry, praise your Lord, were like running away. Hallelujah, because everything was great, but then people got desperate, like we are today, and began to say, you know what, I'm not going to wait anymore. Shalom, Brother Joseph. Shalom to each and one of you. Amen. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot. My brother and sister, praise your Lord. This is why we work with 10 people, like 10,000 people, the same. Shalom, sister. Amen. It's important that we understand that we're not looking for number. We're looking for the Lord. We were working for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus had 12 disciples. And when things got really hard, hallelujah, they wanted to go as the multitude left the Lord. And it was revealed to Peter, to whom do we go? To whom? Whom will give us a word of life? And it was only Jesus there. John the Baptist has been beheaded. John the Baptist, God was using him to give him word of life. Now comes Jesus, the Son of God, and the real word, the true word of God. And he was given them the real manna from heaven. Their parents receiving in the wilderness manna from God. And Jesus, who gave them the manna, who sent the manna to them from heaven, now came himself. He sent his messenger twice to them, or many times, and they would not listen to God's messenger. Moses was one of them. Abraham was one of them. Isaac and Jacob was their God's messenger. Joseph was God's messenger until God, the Lord says, all right, I'll go myself. And he came to his own. But his own receive him not. Okay? Don't be surprised when your own people don't receive you. because they didn't receive the Lord. And I'll tell you, no one was greater preacher than him. No one was greater messenger than Jesus. And his own people, the Jewish people, did not receive him. Their heart was not ready for him. They were not ready. Because in order for you to be ready with him, you have to be walking with him in spirit first. Before you encounter his person, the person of Jesus, hallelujah, right before you, you need to be walking with him in spirit. And there were very few who listened to John the Baptist who began to walk this walk of the spirit with God, my brother and sister, before he manifested himself over them. This is what's going to happen with the bride of Christ who is walking with Jesus. As they walk with him in spirit now, they're going to see his manifestation, the true person of him manifested. Now it's in spirit. Now you cannot see him as the disciple walked with John. They could not see him. But then he came and manifested himself to them in the flesh. My brother and sister, the bride of Christ, the Lord has shown this to me over the years. During the revival, I'm going to show myself to them. They're going to see me face to face. And they are going to receive order from me, instruction from me, face to face. I will handle them from my hand to their hand. And I saw this. Jesus showed me this. The instruction to my children, to my people. And I was standing before him and I bowed my head and I said, yes, Lord, I'm using you to prepare them, but I'm going to manifest myself to them. He says, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. And that is exactly what's going to happen very soon. During the 3 days of darkness and after the 3 days of darkness, you're not going to need a preacher anymore. You're not going to need a pastor or a prophet anymore. Our job will be done talking to people from God. He's going to manifest himself to you face to face. And you're not going to hear a different message. You're going to hear him. Hallelujah. What he's been speaking. Because whatever he says through the Holy Spirit is who he is. My brother and my sister. Praise the Lord. So I know a lot of people have a lot of doubt and question. Hallelujah. But he's getting you ready now to manifest to you. But right now, he expects you to walk in the Spirit, trusting the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is what he's doing now. He wants you to trust him through the person of the Holy Spirit. He is guiding you to all truth. You can ask him to lead you, to teach you, my brother, my sister. Thank you, Lord. The title of the message tonight, hallelujah, is God wants the real you to repent. I'm going to explain myself. Hallelujah. Let me read a Bible verse from 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul went to the Thessalonians very anointed and brought them this word in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And the message was a short message. This is what he says to them. Abstain or keep yourself from appearance of evil. All appearance. Hallelujah. Appearance is something that looks real, but it's not. Someone can pretend to be something that is not. That is an appearance. I didn't have this much knowledge about appearance. I understood the meaning of the word. And I understood what God's been working in my life for years. My brother insisted. The many times the Lord came to me and rebuked me, hallelujah, to show me how he wants us to walk with him. Many times after he rebuked me, I became, hallelujah, wondering or concerned. But sometimes he will rebuke me. He will come and rebuke me. And then he will come and comfort me, my brother insisted. Because he knew I was struggling with it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we give our life to Jesus, we go to church like everybody else. But I was not receiving in church what God wanted me to receive. The change to being like Christ It was not exactly what I was receiving in church, my brother and sisters. And it's because the message of God has been watered down so much over the years, hallelujah, that is dangerous. A lot of time to be going to church is dangerous, my brother and sisters, because the false teaching, as Jesus spoke this to me a few years ago, he says, my son, if you sit there and you listen to false teaching, you are sinning. God will hold you responsible as sinning, he says to me. And I close in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, but I'm not the one preaching the false teaching. I'm listening to the message. But he said, if you sit there and receive the message of false teaching, God holds you responsible as sinning. And to me, I didn't learn this in church, my brother and sister. I heard it directly from Jesus. Hallelujah. False teaching is so wicked and evil that we got to make sure we stay away from false teaching, my brother and sisters. Again, the Apostle Paul, staying from all appearance of evil. Hallelujah. The Lord took me to hell not long ago. And he brought me to hell and had me stand in hell. Well, a demon, I saw someone there, a Christian lady that I knew for many years. She ended up in hell, my brother and sister. And the Lord had me standing next to her, not too far from her, while a demon who seems to know her very well says to her, here, the demon said, Shalom, Jenner. You cannot pretend to be anybody else, the demon says. And I was wondering what the demon was talking about. But the demon had long nail and began to poke her body. And she was telling the demon, leave me alone. Leave me alone, I tell you. The demon kept saying to the demon, the woman. Kept saying to the demon, leave me alone. Okay? And the demon kept saying to her, on earth, you live a life of pretending to be in someone else. But not here. Here, we know who you are, the demon says to her. And I'm standing there. The Lord had me standing there to listen to the conversation and to see what was happening. And the demon was alone now, kept poking her body, hurting her, until she began to turn into this person that I didn't know and began to curse this demon out, my brother and sister, with horrible language, evil language, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And what God wanted me to see is that we cannot fake God. We cannot fake to be in a Christian. We cannot fake to be in a real Christian. In heaven, we cannot fake. We cannot deceive God in any way, shape, or form. Neither can we deceive the demon of hell, neither, my brother insisted. Hallelujah. It's not of God for us to deceive anybody. This woman while on earth pretended to be a nice Christian before the face of the brothers and sisters. But when they would turn around, turn back and leave her, she would begin to gossip against her and criticize them with no mercy, my brother and sister. And I wonder about this behavior and what God would think about this. But the Lord wanted to show me that we cannot be actors. The word actors come from the original Bible word, hypocrite. And the Greek, the word hypocrite is translated to the word actors, my brother insisted. And people like to watch actors from Hollywood, my brother insisted. But the fact of the matter is fake. It's not real. If not of God, it doesn't please God, my brother insisted. And the part of us
that God wants us to repent before him. It's the part when someone cut you in line and you turn around and you get angry at this person and you let this person have it. My brother and sister, when God, someone cut you in front in your car and you take your hand out and you take your middle finger to that person, that is the person that God wants us to repent daily. My brother and sister, not the one that is pretending to be a Christian, but the one that when someone says something that you don't like and you curse that person out and you tell them, get out of my faith, get out of my house, I don't want to see you anymore. That's the person that God wants us to repent. The real you, because that is the real you. The one that curses people off. The one that gets angry at people. The one that lets people have it. The one that is impatient. The one that is not willing to wait. That is the one that God wants to be in daily repenting. My brother insisted. The one that said, I'm not going to take this from you. And punch the other person. That's the one that God wants us to repent. That's the one that needs to be in daily repenting, that needs to be confessing the sin daily. People say, Brother Elvie, why do we need to be in daily repenting? Why do we need to repent so much? Think about your life. Think about what you do every day. Think about how you go about your life. Think about the things that go through your mind, through your heart, of those that have hurt you in the past, those that have come against you in the past. How do you feel back then of those that have done evil to you? Do you pray for their salvation? Do you pray for mercy? As Jesus said, love thy enemy. Pray for them that persecute ye. My brother and sister, loving your enemy is the harder things to do. It will take all of sincere you, the real you, to love someone who's been coming against you. It's going to take the real you. And if the real you had not been repenting, God has given us millisecond in time. Hallelujah. I don't believe there's second in the spirit of the rapture. If there is anything left, it's millisecond. You have millisecond. We have millisecond to repent. Repent. Confess our sin. Our real sin. Our real bad behavior. Our real bad emotion. Our real bad thinking, our gossiping, my brother and sister, God Almighty, oh, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has given us some time. It's given us time to repent, to confess our sin, to confess our trespasses daily, that we may be found worthy to escape. When that trumpet sound, when that shofar sound, God Almighty is merciful, and he's saying in his throne, I want to save you, my child. I want you to come to my kingdom. I want you to come to my throne, but in the condition that you are in, how you going about your life with so much unconfessed sin, so much unconfessed behavior, my brother and sister. Oh my Lord, oh my God. Why do we need to repent so much? It's because we sin so much. It's like there's an automatic button in our life that is being pressed by the enemy, and we go on sinning. My brother and sister, that is so dangerous. So, so dangerous. God have mercy on us. God have mercy on us, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Bible has been clear with that. 2 Corinthians 10:7. Do you look up on the things according to the outward appearance? If any man trusts himself that he is in Christ, let him himself think again that he is in Christ. Even so, we are in Christ. This is an inner, hallelujah, checked every day we need to do before God. The real us need to repent. God wants the real us to be confessing our sin, to be confessing our trespasses, not the appearance one. You know that appearance in the Bible. Hallelujah. Obtain from all appearance of evil. Our appearance are evil according to the Bible. Appearance are of the devil who pretend to be a lamb when he is a wolf, my brother and sister. That is appearance. Hallelujah. That is not pleasing to God, because God knows exactly who he is. God knows exactly who we are before him. God knows when we are pretending. God knows when we're being actors, hypocrites. Jesus, nothing holding him back from calling his disciple hypocrite, from calling the multitude hypocrite. My brother and sister, nothing stopped the Lord from calling them, because he was looking for something from them. Hallelujah. And it was for them to repent. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, he says to the Pharisee in Matthew 6:2, therefore, when ye, hallelujah, thou givest time, do not sound trumpet. When you give an offering, do not sound trumpet before thee, or as the hypocrite do in the synagogue, in the street, that they may have glory of man. I verily say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, in heaven, they will not be rewarded, because men have seen what they've done. They have made the trumpet sound before them. They have made people say, oh, look what so-and-so gave. Oh, no, my brother and sister. He says that we won't be this way. Hallelujah. That we will not be hypocrites, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:16, moreover, when ye fast, talking about the fasting, don't be as the hypocrite, and a sad countenance, for the disfigure of their face, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When we fast, we don't go around telling people I'm fasting, unless you have to, unless we have to, unless someone's offering us food or something, I'm sorry, okay, I'm fasting. But we need to be very, very careful how we say it, my brother and sister. No, hallelujah, my brother and sister. And then he says in Matthew 15:7, ye hypocrite, where I did as I said the prophet prophesied, saying, hallelujah, he even warned them that in his words to the prophet Isaiah, he called them hypocrite, because that was their lifestyle. They thought that was okay. And it's not okay with God when we are actors, when we are hypocrites. My brother insisted, he wants us in daily repenting, because every time, my brother and sister, we sin, and whatever we're struggling with, God wants to hear from us. If you're struggling to be real, he wants to hear you say, God, I'm sorry I've been a hypocrite. I'm so sorry, Lord, I've been a hypocrite all this year. Would you help me to be a genuine disciple, a real disciple, a real follower of you, Lord? I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore, Lord. I want to be real, Lord. That whatever you ask me to do, Lord, I will do. I will do. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. A dear woman of God, ask the Lord, Lord, do you like it when I change my hair, Lord, when I change my hair color? And the Lord says, no, my daughter. I would prefer you leave your hair natural. But Lord, because you know amazing, Lord, I get white hair, Lord. And the Lord says, I know, my daughter, but I would prefer you leave your hair the way it is. Hallelujah. Because she seeks this after Lord. But anyone else who like to change their hair color, if the Lord mentioned that to the person, it will be angry. Unless they ask the Lord truly from the heart and say, Lord, do you really want me to stop coloring my hair, Lord? And the Lord said, yes, my daughter, I want you to stop doing that. You are doing in obedience to the Lord. He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. He will let you do it if he wants to. But if you ask him, he will say, no, my daughter, I would prefer you leave your hair natural, the way I make you hair. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Obedient to God is always better than sacrifice. You can do a lot of things, my brother and sister. But when you ask the Lord, Lord, I've been doing this. Is this pleasing unto you? The Lord may say, no. But are you ready to receive kind of guidance from the Lord? Are you ready to receive that word from the Lord when he was saying, no, my daughter? Don't put lipsticks on your face and your mouth, my daughter. Hallelujah. Don't put all this makeup on your face, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Are you ready to hear the Lord about all this? Or is that something you won't pray about? You'll never ask the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Because the Lord will guide you. The Lord will teach you. He will lead you. And you're always better off when the Lord leads you and guides you. Or the Lord will allow you to have these things. My brother and sister. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:5. Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine eyes, and then thou shalt see clearly, then to cast out the mud out of the brother's eyes. Praise the Lord. And this is the people, excuse me, that like to go around always telling people they're wrong. And people are trying, they are repenting, they're seeking the Lord. But to these people, it's never enough. I'm going to tell you one thing. God did not call us to judge anybody. The judge is in heaven. He is the judge that God has chosen, according to the book of Acts, to judge the living and the dead. But it doesn't say that we are to judge the living. Hallelujah. The living and the dead, my brother and sister. But you hear some Christian going around judging even the dead, the living and the dead, when Christ is the one chosen to do that. My brother and sister, God did not choose us to do that. Christ has been chosen to do that. But they love to go around, my brother and sister, judging other people. And the Lord has a word for them. Hallelujah. Cleanse yourself first. Hallelujah. Watch what's in your life first that is not pleasing to God. If you look into your own life after many things that is not pleasing to God, you will not have time to judge anybody else. I tell you, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. You will have no time to judge anybody else if you're repenting your sin sincerely before God. If you are confessing your sin every day sincerely before God, you will have no time to judge anybody else, because we have many things that we need to confess. We have many things in our life that need to be changed by God. And if we spend the time fasting and praying, asking God to change us, to change the thing in our life that is not pleasing to him, my Lord, my God. I remember when I asked the Lord the things that were in my life. Jesus revealed to me the things that were in my life that were not pleasing to him. And I said, Lord, help me to change these things. Reveal them to me, Lord, that I know specifically what they are. And when the Lord began to show me, he began to speak them to me. He came to me. And he began to tell me the things in my life that were not pleasing to him. I was stunned. Because he kept going about the list of the things. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah, it made me sick. I wanted to vomit. My brothers and sisters, because there are things in our life not pleasing unto the Lord. And when we take it in prayer before the Lord, when he revealed to us what they are, we spend most of our time repenting them. I tell you, I'm honest with you. I spend more time repenting my sins. My brothers and sisters, I'm surprised the time I spend. Why? Why do I spend so much time every day repenting my sins? Because if I ask the Lord to show me what they are, he will show me what they are, my brother and sister, and you don't take things like this lightly. A lot of people take them lightly. They think a 5 minutes repenting is enough. No. It's what God will lead you to repent. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I preached about this years ago, and there was a sister listening to me. And the Lord revealed to her that she has spent most of her life judging and criticizing other people. That now God wanted her to be in repenting and to be in praying for other people. She wrote to me and said, Brother Elvie, I began to consecrate my life before the Lord in prayer. And you know how many hours I've been spending daily in prayer with God? 8 hours, Brother Elvie. 8 hours, almost to 9 hours in prayer. Of the many things, hallelujah, I've been praying about. Hallelujah. You don't know all the things that God needs to change in our life. In order for us to be like Christ, remember that word, like Christ. Praise the Lord. What happened to the rest of the things that we have, that we haven't confessed? The word is actors, good actors, great hypocrites. Hallelujah. As Jesus called his disciple, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Jesus had no problem calling his disciple hypocrite. He called the Pharisee hypocrite, my brother and sister, but he also called his disciple hypocrite. Hallelujah. Because we can be good actors. Hallelujah. But it doesn't help us with God. It doesn't help us with the Lord, my brother and sister, at all. Because we're just being hypocrites. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, he wants us to repent. Hallelujah. He wants us to confess our sin. He wants us to confess our trespasses. This is the beginning. Hallelujah. This is the beginning of our relationship with him. If you're not confessing your sin and trespasses, you're not willing to walk with him. Although you've been saying like an actor, I want to walk with God. I want to walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. We can be good actor with God and tell God, God, I want to walk with you. And God will hear us and see us and say, what a good actor. What a hypocrite. Because if I tell you to repent this or that or this or that, you will turn around angry of God, my brother and sisters. At one time, as I said to the Lord, I've been repenting. And most of the things I did was repenting. And Jesus, I asked, Lord, what else, Lord? And the Lord said, there's still in your heart unforgiveness to your brothers and sisters. Jesus says to me back then in the church. I said, Lord, I've been repenting this, and you have much unforgiveness in you, my son. To your brothers and sisters, you have judged them, and you have not forgiven them. Whoa. Whoa. Lord. Hallelujah. I will help you with this. Ask me to help you, he says. Jesus says to me, because he had told me, I want you to spend your time in fasting and prayer with me, in my word, he says. Yes, Lord. And that's what I did every day. Then he revealed me this. I will heal you from this. Hallelujah. Because the enemy will use that against you. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. When you have unforgiveness against someone else, you cannot look at that person straight in the face. You cannot tell that person, I love you. And if you do, you've been a great hypocrite, great actor. God. The one has to go around our life daily being an actor, being a hypocrite before him. God wants us to be sincere. God wants us to be real. As he is real. Hallelujah. Why haven't God destroyed the earth? Because God loved his enemy. He made his sun come out over good and evil. He made his rain come out over good and evil. He makes the grass come out and produce bread, produce fruit, produce everything humanity needs over good and evil. God can see Bill Gates and all these men who don't care about God in their life. Hallelujah. Using their money for evil. And still he's having mercy on them. Still his love for them. He went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross for them. And in the moment Bill Gates said, God, forgive me. I repent of my sin and trespasses. He welcomed him. He'll forgive him. He'll write his name in the Lamb Book of Life. My brother and sister, he don't care who. Hallelujah. He's merciful. Hallelujah. He loves everyone. He forgives everyone who repents. My brother and sister, he doesn't reject anyone. This is what the question that the disciple had when they followed Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the Samaritan were judged and rejected by the Jewish people. The Gentile were rejected by the Jewish people. Hallelujah. They thought they were so special in their pride. And when Jesus came, Hallelujah. He went about up and down loving them. Hallelujah. He didn't care to feed them. He didn't care to help them and love on them. Hallelujah. And when the Samaritan woman was there to drag water out of that hole, Jesus right there with her. There's been many people studying why did Jesus send his disciple to go get food while he was talking to the Samaritan woman. Because he knew they were not being able to understand his love and mercy for everyone. His disciples were not ready yet. He knew this. And if any of them will remain, what Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman with such a great love, mercy, and care, they would have said something. They would have told that woman, get out of here, woman. You're not a Jew. And Jesus would have rebuked that disciple and said, what are you doing? I'm here to give my life for that woman. I'm here to give my life for everyone. My brother and sister, he loved everyone. He didn't reject anyone. Anyone that comes to him, including the Romans, could come to Jesus. And he will, hallelujah, receive them with open arm and open heart for them in love. And that was too much for the disciple. That's why they didn't understand him until he died and resurrected on the third day. When they saw his power, when they saw what he's able to do, then their mind, their understanding was open. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. There are many people still that have not understand the love of God. They think that God is only for a certain people, a certain race. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. There were years ago, there was a belief in churches that God was only for the white people. And they rejected the black. My brother and sister. And it was hard for the black people to be saved. Because the white people will keep them away when they were slaves. Because they thought Jesus was white. And that Jesus was only for the white people. They were totally wrong. They had no understanding of the love and mercy of God. And it took hundreds of years in America and around the world for black people to come to Christ and we serve him like anybody else. Because all people thought about them, the white, that they were good only to be slaves and nothing else. They were wrong. The love of God is for everybody, my brother and sister. And in order for you to understand the love of God, you got to understand the precedents that open the heart, hallelujah, for other races, hallelujah, like Lincoln. President Lincoln understood the love of God because it was in him burning like a torch, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He had love for the slave like none of the white people can understand. My brother and sister, and wanted them to be free. My brother and sister, to serve God, to go to church like anybody else, to see God, to have Bible study. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Because he understood that was a right given by God for humanity, to serve God, to see God, to be free for him and not be enslaved, my brother and sister. Many still have not understood it to this day. Hallelujah. Many will have to go to heaven by grace ye are saved and face God and even have the Lord rebuke them in heaven and say, this thinking of yours has been wrong. This is not mine. This is of your flesh. Hallelujah. This is not mine, my child. Hallelujah. This is who I am. Look to my throne and see all the races that serve me, that are free in me. Look at the Chinese. Look at the Japanese in my throne. Look at all the African in my throne, my child. Look at all the nations serve me and are free in me. Hallelujah, how they seek me, and I welcome each and one of them, and I love each and one of them as I'm my child. I don't reject none of them. I make them in my image, in my likeness. Hallelujah. When you love, then you love me. If you reject one of these little ones, you reject me also. Hallelujah. You will be touched by the love Jesus has for them. by the mercy of God for every one of them. How each and one of them are unique and special to him because he made them so. He thought about them before the foundation of this earth. Before he made the earth, they were in his heart, in his mind. My brother and sister, their name was in his books before he created this earth. I was taken to the throne of God at one time, in which I kept saying, I'm not worthy. The power of God and the light of God was so powerful, I could hardly see it. I was invited to come in, and there was like a pulpit there, and there was a book. And in the book was the memory of God. And in the book was our name written there by God. Our first name and last name was there before God created anything, before God created the earth, right before he had written our name in that book. Hallelujah. And he knew that we will come and be born because it was his will on this earth that we will be here and that we will serve him. My brother and sister, was too much for me at the time. I was thinking, what a glory. I didn't want to come into that throne. But I was brought in there to see that book, to talk about that book of life with the name of every believer in Christ. Their name is written there. And only I saw that book in that pulpit, in the throne of God. To God is such a special book. As Daniel said, whose name is written in the book, hallelujah, that is the book of remembrance. That is the book of memory to God. Praise the Lord. If your name is there, you are going home. God wanted me to see, to open the book that my name was there. This earth that we love, that people love so much and look at it and are amazed. Before it was. Our name is in the book of life there in heaven, in that marvelous, powerful light. My brother and sisters, there seems to me millions, like millions upon millions, hallelujah, in a single light bulb. That is the presence of God. My Lord, when Father shines his light on this earth, on the new earth, it will be the happiest moment for us. My brother and my sister, hallelujah, he is coming. Jesus is coming, so is Father coming to dwell with us. And he will be our God, and we will be his people. He will wipe the tear himself from our eyes. He promised us in his Bible, his word. My brother and sister is coming. He is coming to dwell, hallelujah, with us on this earth. He's coming from the third, hallelujah, from the third heaven, third level. Father is descending on this earth to dwell, and his glory will cover the earth. Hallelujah, what a marvelous thing to see. He's coming. He is coming. He says to me, he decided to bring me in. Of all things, my brother and sister, hallelujah, about 3 years ago, for 3 years, hallelujah, we can see the changes on our earth. Thank God say he decided to bring the end of all things. My brother and sister, the end of all things is being finished. The reason why the wicked look like he's in the throne is because he is about to be destroyed. Hallelujah, Satan and all the hosts are going to be thrown in the lake of fire that burn with fire and brings them forever and never, and they will burn forever, and their punishment will be forever and never. God has said it, and God will fulfill it, my brother and sister. Hallelujah, we need to be repenting. Holy him that sat upon the throne is giving you and I the opportunity to repent and seek him. Hallelujah, more than anything. If we are being actors, if we're being hypocrites, my brother and sister, we are wasting our time. The Lord had me watch this woman in hell as this demon was harassing her. He was putting his nail through her skin in hell, through her body. And she was telling the demon, stop it. Stop it, you're making me angry. Stop it, you're making me angry. And the demon said, oh, you've been a hypocrite. You've been acting on earth all your life. Oh, we want the real you out here. And he kept poking her and poking her until this woman took a shape and a form. My blood sister, like a demon, she began to curse out this demon. My blood sister. And the demon said, that is the real you. That is the real you. The real you right there. As this demon, as this woman was cursing out this demon. Oh, it is the real us that God wants us to repent. It's the real us that God wants us daily to be confessing our sin. Oh, remember when someone, hallelujah, there's something to you that makes you mad. And you curse out this person. You said all kinds of things to this person. You probably punched this person. You probably were thinking about having a gun and blowing this person's head off. That's the real you that God wants us repenting. Hallelujah. When you are by yourself, oh, and you have a wife, and you're there talking to this other woman. Hallelujah. Probably going to bed with another woman. That's the real you that God wants us to be repenting. Oh, that woman that is married, that is speaking to these other men, that want to go to bed with these other men. That's the real you that God wants us to be repenting. Stop being an actor. God wants us to stop being an actor. Stop being a hypocrite. God wants us to be real, real, where the real us is repenting. You begin to see the real change. Hallelujah. When the real you is confessing your sin, it will make you sick in the beginning. When you start repenting as a hypocrite, when you tell God, I'm sorry I've been a hypocrite. I'm sorry I've been an actor all this year. Please forgive me. I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. I want to be real, real, the real me. Repent, ain't sick in the beginning. You will feel a change and genuine change in you. Your inner being will begin to be shaken. When the real you begin to repent, the real you will begin to be shaken. It will make you sick in the beginning. Maybe it'll take a few weeks for you to start stabilizing. But in the first week, when the real you is repenting, you feel sick. It will make you dizzy. It will make your head spin. It will make your head spin. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. Because you're not being a hypocrite. You're being real now. When you begin to repent for real before God, your head will begin to spin. Things will not make sense in the beginning because, hallelujah, being an actor, many people are actors to hide how they really feel, my brother and sister. No, no, God doesn't want that from us. God wants the real us confessing our sin, confessing our trespasses, confessing us when people make us mad. When you think about what you want to really say to that person, that's the real you that needs to be repenting. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And someone say, how do you really feel? How do you really feel about this person that just this the things to you? I just want to punch them. I just want to beat on this person. That's the real you. The God wants us to be repenting, confessing your sin, confessing your trespasses, saying to God, I'm so sorry, God. I feel this way. I don't want to feel this way anymore. Change me. Change me. Change me, Lord. Change me. I'm sorry. And you begin to fast. This is what the Lord says to me. Hallelujah. When someone comes to you asking you for help, and you tell them to begin to fast and repent, and the person refuses to fast, the person is not being sincere. It's not being sincere. Hallelujah. I have told people over the year when they ask me for help, Brother Elvie, help me. Brother Elvie, what advice would you give me, Brother Elvie? And when I say you need to fast and repent and be in the Word, oh, no, no, wait a minute. Fasting? I have people being honest and say, I never fasted in my life, Brother Elvie. You're the first person I hear this from. Hey, I can show you hundreds of Bible verses about fasting from Genesis all the way to Revelation. My brother insisted. I can go into the Word of God now and put in fast. Hundreds of verses just come up. about fasting. How can people say they don't know about fasting? When Jesus said while he was with his disciples, they didn't need to fast. But when the Lord will leave, they needed to fast. If the disciple fasted, because the Lord led them to fast, who you and I think we are that we can say we don't need to fast? That is pride. We're being actor. We're being hypocrite before God. God is not pleased with actor. God is not pleased with hypocrite. He rebukes them. Jesus rebuked them all the time, my brother and sisters. Hallelujah. He rebuked the actor. He rebuked the hypocrite. He don't like them. It's not pleasing unto him because you're not repentant and sincere. He doesn't want people to go to hell. And if you keep being an actor, if you keep being a hypocrite, you will end up in hell if you don't repent. One has to repent sincerely, the real you, the real me. Apple and sister, he wants us to repent sincerely, not to be acting to be a believer, not to be acting to be a Christian, not to be acting to be humble. My brother and sister, not to be acting to be a real believer when God knows we are not, and we know we're not too, because our heart convicts us. And if our heart convict us, John said in his books, in his letter, greater is God. If your heart convict you, greater is God. If you're saying something that you think is true, but your heart is convicting you, that is the Lord in you. Hallelujah. Greater is God. He said, no, you're lying. You are lying. And then you're trying to convince God that, no, you didn't lie. Oh, my Lord, my God. Oh, my Lord, my God, we can be wicked actor. Hallelujah. Again, let me read you the verse. Obtain from all appearance of evil. He's calling appearance evil. Any type of appearance, type of actors, any type of hypocrite, it's evil. The first hypocrite in heaven was the devil. Pride set in his heart. And he wanted to act like everything was fine. Hallelujah. And God, no. No, 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 no. God doesn't want any hypocrite in heaven. Any actor in heaven. Hallelujah. We need to repent of any type of appearance in our life. Hallelujah. That pretend that we are so holy. That we are so righteous. That we are so committed when we're not. He wants us to be real. My brother and sister. Real confessing truly our sin, our trespasses before him, and saying, Lord, I'm sorry for all my evil appearances, Lord, in my heart and my life. I don't want to be this way anymore, Lord. I want to be sincere. I want to truly be your disciple, Lord, your true believer, Lord, not acting, not pretending, Lord. No, Lord, I want to be sincere. I want to serve you right. I want to walk with you right. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I noticed something. I learned something about Jesus. That when something is too hard for us to handle. Hallelujah. He works in our life gently. He's a gentleman. Hallelujah. He came to visit me many times. And I was in the middle of a conversation with him. And when I would talk about certain topics, he will remain quiet. My brother insisted. And I never knew why until I asked him, Lord, why? And he told me one time, because you're not ready to receive this. And what I had to tell you, you're not ready. And that to me was a great revelation. And I said, Lord, make me ready. Help me to be ready to receive what you have to say, Lord. And at one time, when he told me what it was, especially the unforgiveness in me, he says, my son, I remember before he revealed it to me, he said, pray, continue to fast and pray. Be in my word. And I will come back to you. That's what I did. And he came back to me later on. My brother insisted. And I said, Lord, what is it in me that I need to confess and repent. And he says, you have judged your brother and you have unforgiveness in you. Hallelujah. But I say, Lord, I've been confessing these things. He says, ask me and I will help you. You have to forgive your brother, he says. Wow. And to me, that was because I felt that they were offending me. Hallelujah. I don't know how I was offending them, but I felt that they were offending me. And this is the part where we sit there and we blame other people. We say, no, it was so-and-so. And we take no responsibility for our action. And God wants us to take responsibility for our action. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And when he began to reveal the things in me that was not pleasing to him, hallelujah, I began to ask him, some will make me really sick, dizzy, my head will spin. My brother and sister. But Lord, because when I wanted to go evangelize, he said, no, wait on me. I said, huh? I heard in church that the pastor will call and say, he called all of you to go preach the gospel unto all creatures, unto all the world. That's what I remember. Go preach the gospel unto all creatures of all the world. But I didn't know that God first needs to deal with us and heal us first before he will send you out to evangelize other people. In other words, you cannot give what you don't have. My brother and sister, what is for a man to win the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man gain? In another word, you want to evangelize everybody? You want to be millions and billions unto the throne of God being saved and you going to the lake of fire? Is that what you want? The answer will be no. I don't want that. So you need to be seeking the Lord first. Hallelujah. Get in your life right with God where he wants you to be with Christ. And then he will send you. I will tell you. Hallelujah. It was different from what the pastors and leaders in the church was telling me. Jesus was telling me, not yet. I was not ready to go evangelize people, lead people to Christ. I was not ready because there was unforgiveness and sin in my life that he wanted me to deal with him first. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And that was not being taught to me in church. Hallelujah. It was like the brother, hallelujah, who will, he used to hang out with his friend and drugs and alcohol, going to the club and doing all these things. But he got saved and came to the Lord and was going to church for a few months now. And he went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I want to go to the club and evangelize my friend. Because when they come from work every Friday, they go to the club to drink and play game and all that. And there I can cash them. I can meet with them and evangelize them. And the pastor said, I tell you, just be careful. If I was you, you will wait at least a year until God have worked in your life and cleansed your life and removed things that are not pleasing to him. But Pastor, my friend, you know, I love my friend. And they're lost, Pastor. I just want to go. Pastor said, okay, you keep insisting. Okay, go. He went to evangelize his friend. He said at the table, his friend, they ordered beers. Do you want some? No, I'm fine. I'm okay. And he kept sharing the word. My brother and sister, he did this for maybe two or three occasions. He ended up staying in the club, drinking with his friend, and forgetting about the church. My brother and sister, forgetting about everything else. Hallelujah. He was not ready because he was not changed completely. The devil used his friend and began to remind him of his past, how he used to drink all night long and had so much fun, according to the devil, through them, my brother and sister, and go out and do this and do that. And it made a mess in his mind and heart until he ended up staying in the club with his friend and forgetting about church, my brother and sister. The pastor was worried. Much time had passed. Well, now much time had passed, so the pastor didn't see him in church anymore. The pastor said, let me try to get a hold of this brother. Hallelujah. And when the pastor got hold of him, asked him, what happened? How come I don't see you in church anymore? He said, oh, pastor, I feel so bad. You know how I told you I wanted to leave my friends to the Lord? Well, I started having fun with them. I forgot. I started drinking, partying. And, pastor, I've been sinning. I've been sinning, pastor. Pastor said, what did I tell you? Didn't I not tell you you were not ready? You will not listen to me. Oh, pastor, I'm so sorry. Will you come to church with me now? Oh, pastor, I don't know, pastor. I don't know. I just feel so bad. You know, I feel so convicted, so bad. But now you need to turn to the Lord for help. You need to get up. You need to leave your friend, pray for your friend, but you need to get yourself cleansed with God. It is a process, my son. Get up in the Lord now. Get into prayer. Get into fasting. You should not be going to the club. You were not ready to go to the club and meet your friends. Hallelujah, because you were not ready. That was your weakness. And the devil used them to convince you to stay in the club with them and drink and do other things. Oh, yeah, pastor, you're so right, pastor. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. You have not sinned against me, my brother. You have sinned against God. You need to repent before God now and seek all your heart now. Commit your life. Hallelujah. Come to church. Come to church now. Come on. We'll help you there. Praise the Lord. It is a struggle when someone falls again into the sin that they used to do. The devil uses weakness to remind him of the things he likes. My brother and sister, every Friday, coming for work, they will used to get together and go to the club and get drunk. Hallelujah. And get on the car and drive around and do other things they're not supposed to do, my brother and sister. Wicked, evil things. Hallelujah. The devil knows your weakness. The devil knows the things you like. He uses those things to keep you, hallelujah, tied to those things, that you will not commit your life to the Lord. But if you humble yourself before the Lord, if you cry out to Jesus and you tell the Lord your weakness, you tell the Lord that you like the things that are not of God, and you ask the Lord to help you, to cleanse you for your things, to give you the victory over these things, my brother and sister, he will help you overcome, because Jesus overcame these things on the cross. Hallelujah. When Jesus said, Father, Father, why hast thou forgiven me, forsaken me, I'm sorry. Was because in that moment, carried our weakness. He carried our infirmity. He carried everything about you and I, says the prophet Isaiah on that cross. And it was so much sin, was so much wickedness that were being crucified, that in that moment, there had never been a moment like this, where Jesus has said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment, God stepped aside for a moment. My brother insisted. And in that moment, our weakness, our infirmity, our disease were crucified. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. He became like us so he can empower us in our weakness. Hallelujah. In our sickness. And empower us to get up now. Give us the victory to be able to rise again in Christ, in his power, a resurrection. The reason why he resurrected on the third day, that was the power he told us that we will have. He resurrected in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are resurrected also in the power of the Holy Spirit, in our weakness, in our shortcoming, in our sinful witness. When we confess our sin, when we confess our trespasses, we are empowered by God through the Holy Spirit in our life to stand, to get up. Hallelujah, to overcome the flesh, to overcome the world, to overcome temptation, to overcome anything in our life that we thought we could not. Hallelujah. He empowers us. That was the overcoming in the cross. We are more than overcoming in him, the word of God says. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now we can overcome this weakness in our life. He will empower. Now when we cry and we say, Lord, I am so weak in this area in my life. Lord, help me. I repent. I'm so sorry, Lord. I truly repent. I'm being a hypocrite. I'm being a liar. I'm being a deceiver. Empower me, Jesus. Empower me for what you did on the cross. The power of the Holy Spirit comes. And he empowered us to get up, and be able to walk and go forward in Christ. I thank you, Jesus. He would empower us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence tonight, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Empower those that are struggling, Lord, that have been hypocrite, that have been liar. Empower us, Lord, in our weakness, Lord. Empower us. You overcame these on the cross. You overcame them, Lord. Empower us. Help us. Not to be liar, Lord, anymore. Not to be hypocrite, Lord, but be truthful, truthful disciple of you, Lord, to serve you wholeheartedly. Hallelujah. To repent sincerely, to overcome this weakness of the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Open your heart tonight and receive the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the things of the flesh, the desire of the flesh. Hallelujah. The weakness of lying, deceiving, and being hypocrite actors. Repent, repent, repent. Hallelujah. Open your heart and life to the Lord and say, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. Lord, I want to overcome these things in my life. I don't want to be like this anymore. Lord, empower me. Empower me, Jesus. And the Lord will empower you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, help. Help, 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 Lord, to overcome marijuana, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Even though it's legal, it's not of God. It can damage your body. It will damage the member of your body. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God has said, whoever destroys the temple of the Holy Spirit, God will destroy that person. Repent. Repent, Lord, help me to overcome marijuana, to overcome these things that destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Let my body be for you, Jesus. Let my body be the temple of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, Lord. And the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. My sister, the Lord will help you to change. The Lord will help you to serve him, to serve him, to commit your life to him. Hallelujah. Lord, help my sister in her weakness. To overcome whatever's at the flesh, whatever's at the evil one, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to the blood of Jesus, to what Jesus did on Calvary, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Claim what Jesus did on the cross for you. Lord, hallelujah. What you did on the cross for me, I receive it. Set me free. You came to set the captive free. Your word said, whom the Son set free, it is free indeed. The Lord will set you free. Jesus will set you free. Jesus is yours. Hallelujah. I am my beloved. My beloved is mine, says the word. Jesus is yours. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. He is your God. He is your Messiah. Claim into your life. Claim him into your life. Claim him as your Lord and Savior. My Savior, my Lord, my God. Claim him. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Claim him, claim him, claim him. Open your heart to him. Open your heart to the Lord. Mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Fill the heart with love, Lord. Break the attack of the enemy. Break the attack of the enemy, Lord. Close that open door. Confess that open door. That sin. Has sin that open door. And confess sin that open door. Confess it. In Jesus' name, Lord, empower, empower my brother and sister. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. He'll help you. He'll help you to overcome. Hallelujah. We are more than overcoming in him. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. He knows our struggle. He knows he wants us to confess it to him. Tell him how you feel. Tell him what you're struggling with and that you don't want to be like this anymore. You don't want to be struggling with these things. You need him to change you. Change the inside of you, the heart. The heart is more wicked than all things, the word of God says. He wants to change the heart, cleanse the heart, purify the heart, remove the things. The heart is, hallelujah, more wicked, more deceiving. My brother and sister, hallelujah, ask him to cleanse your heart, to cleanse your life, that you don't want to be the same. You want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God. You want to be whole, totally healed, totally restored, like Christ. You want to be like Christ. You want to come to the statue of Christ and Jesus there on this earth. You want to represent Christ. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. He'll help you. He will help you. He will help you. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him that shall receive. Knock, it will be open. Praise you, Lord. He's able. He is available for you. He is available for us. Call on the name of the Lord and thou shall be saved. He wants you calling on his name. He wants you calling on him, asking him for help. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, one time, Lord. Lord, now I know that without you, there's nothing I can do. He just, I am glad, my son, you know this, he says. I'm glad, my son, you know this. I was like, Lord. He was glad that I understand that without him, there is nothing I can do. He told this to the disciple in John 15, 4 and 5. Without him, there's nothing we can do. Jesus was glad. He wants to get us to the way we understand that we need the Lord in our life daily. We need to be confessing our sin and trespasses, our shortcoming to him, asking him for help. Help me to be righteous. Help me to be pure, Lord. Help me to be holy, Lord Jesus. Help me. My Lord, my God, stop me from sinning, Jesus. I don't want to sin anymore. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Jesus will help you. He's available for us. He made himself available for us. The days are coming when you're going to meet him face to face. No more Elvis Zapata preaching. No more any other preacher preaching. You're going to meet Jesus face in the days to come. Get ready. Walk with the Holy Spirit now. Walk in the Spirit with God now. Walk with him now. Hallelujah. Confess your sin now more than ever to him. Take time to fast every week. Take time to be in prayer every day. Every day of the day. Take time to be in prayer. Be in the Word. Meditate on the Word. Learn the Word. Know the Word of God. You're going to see Jesus face to face. You're going to meet him. No more question to me or anybody else. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You will know the Lord and you will walk with the Lord. You'll see him. He will be right in front of you. Any question you have, you can ask him. You can ask him. He'll give you the truth. Nothing but the truth. So help you, God. He'll get the truth from him. Always. He'll always tell us the truth, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. I've been stunned the years that have passed. The thing he has revealed to me that I asked him, I am stunned with the answer because it's been totally different than man. Totally different than what I heard in church. And it's in the Word of God always. My brother and sister, like he says to me, man thinks that they can know my word without my help. And he said, that is impossible. You say that today. Among 50,000, hallelujah, believer, and they will be highly offended. My brother and sister, Jesus said this to me. Man thinks that they can know my word without my help. And he said, that is impossible. I am the one who revealed my word, he says. Do you see the problem we have on this earth? How many people have degreed at the word? And they think they know the word. And they're so far off, my brothers and sisters. So far off. Nicodemus was one of them. Thought he knew the word. That he had everything he needed. And Jesus said, you need to be born again. Can you believe their pastor and the Pope are teaching the word. And they are not saved like Nicodemus. They're not born again. My brother and sister. Minister preaching the word for years, and they're not even saved themselves, my brother insisted. Like Nicodemus, how many years that he taught the word in Israel? My brother insisted, many, many years, and he was not even saved. He was not even saved, my brother insisted. He needed to be born again. Hallelujah. Of water and the Spirit. There are many people like this today, my brother and sister, that will, they, when they end up in the great tribulation, they're going to be very mad at God, very mad, like you cannot even imagine. Hallelujah. As I saw someone stay in the great tribulation, very mad of God, and she was saying, hallelujah, that she should have gone home in the rapture, my brother and sister. But she did not. Shalom, Sister Renee. She did not. Because see, if you're not saved by grace, confess the Lord as your Lord and Savior, and live for the Lord, these people will be in great danger of staying behind. My brother and sister, great danger of staying behind. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Years ago, this brother was going to this church, and this pastor, they're even fasting and all kinds of things. And this brother was praying for him and praying for him and praying for him. Until the Lord revealed to him that the pastor he's been praying and the church he's been going, he says that the pastor was not saved, the Lord says to him. When he shared this with me, I said, what? Yeah, the Lord revealed me he's not saved. And I'm like, I never heard that someone can be a minister for years, a pastor, and the Lord can reveal you that person is not saved. Never. Hallelujah. He confesses the Lord as the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And truly serve the Lord. It's a manual that many churches give pastors and leaders to serve God. They graduate in college, in the best college in the United States and the world, and they get a manual from the organization. Here, this is why you need to preach from the pulpit every day of the week or every week. You only have to preach, let's say Thursday, maybe give a short Bible study, or Tuesday, and Sunday is the main service. This is what you need to read to the people, and you are done. This is your salary here. And that's how church has been going on for hundreds of years. My brother and sister, a man preaching to them that is not even saved. They don't go to the Lord and ask the Lord. They say, oh, his voice is so pretty. His voice sounds like a really great speaker. He's such a motivated preacher. My brother and sister, he's so motivated. He motivates people. You know, and he's so gifted, they say. And he's not even saved. My Lord, my God, have mercy. Mercy. Because when people go to heaven and begin to ask for the other people they knew that were going to church with them and they hear the Lord, they're not mine. He not mine. She's not mine. He not mine. She's not mine. There was a book many years written by this great woman of God, supposedly. And one day, hallelujah, I was fasting, praying, and I was doing worshiping with the Lord. And I will listen to her message. I had inquired, I think it was a cassette back then, early 90s. And I thought she was, oh, such a great woman of God. And I heard many preachers say on television, she's in heaven. Hallelujah. So I assumed that she was in heaven. And I said to the Lord, Jesus, Lord, I kept insisting the Lord. I noticed the Lord was quiet when I was asking him in the beginning. But I insisted, Lord, is she in heaven, Lord? Is this servant of yours in heaven, Lord? And the Lord says, she's not in my kingdom. He says to me, she's not in my kingdom. Huh? I heard many people on TBN and they start saying that she was in heaven. My brothers and sisters, because she was such a great anointed woman of God. And when the Lord, who knows everything, who knows every single one in his throne, says she was not in his kingdom, I was. My brother and sister, I was stunned. Lord, Lord, did I hear you right? She's not in my kingdom. My Lord, my God, there's so much we don't know. My brothers and sisters, we truly need to be repenting. We truly need to be seeking the Lord. My brothers and sisters, this is important. Hallelujah. I don't want to say her name because many admire her. My brothers and sisters, it's not the person, it's that we need to be repenting. We need to be seeking the Lord. My brothers and sisters, sincerely repenting before him. I'm not talking about Mary Kay Bassett. She's a great woman of God. My brothers and sisters, we need to be repenting. We need to be seeking the Lord with our heart, my brothers and sisters, truly confessing our sin, truly confessing our trespasses before him. Here's Sister Barbara.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Pillar 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today with a prophecy that I got over, I'm going to say, the past few days. I have it in my phone as a message, just so you know that. So join me in the King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in the book of Matthew. Let's see, where am I starting here? Chapter 24, so let's start at 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. All right, I'm going to skip down to 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. All right, I think that's as far as I'm going. Did we miss anything? No. I think that's it. All right, so like I said, I was hearing this prophecy for the past few days, so I was texting it, so I wouldn't, forget it. My brother Dan already gave it a yikes on part of it. All right, what is today? This is July 8th or 7th, I'm not sure whatever day it was, but I got it the past few days, there's pieces of it. All right, so let's see. Da-da-da-da. So here's what I'm texting to Brother Dan. I'm getting dressed. I hear this. There will be a sudden climate change where there was ice and snow. There will be heat and sun. Where there was sun and heat, there will be ice and snow. A drastic change in temperature and weather conditions. Pray your flight will not be in winter. I heard that 1,000 times. Pray your flight will not be in winter. Okay, here's what's coming next. Your wide coast will be destroyed. Your seaports will be underwater in the east. I did this before when man seeked after the forbidden knowledge. Look at the Holy Spirit on me. I put him and his technology under the ocean's water. Wow. Let's see, keep going. Pray your flight is not in winter. You will have to escape to a safe place. You will have to flee the cities. Flee from the slaughter and madness. Wow. Holy Spirit. Flee from the plagues and death. The dead bodies will be burned in the streets. Military will go door to door collecting dead bodies. Pray you are worthy to escape the coming wrath. My cup of wrath overflows on the wicked and evildoers. Wow. How about that? Imagine this. Well, I got the Holy Spirit from head to foot on this. Let me go back to the top of it. Okay, there's two parts here. There will be a sudden climate change. Where there was ice and snow, there will be heat and sun. Where there was sun and heat, there will be ice and snow. A drastic change in temperature and weather conditions. Pray your flight will not be in winter. Your white coast will be destroyed. Your seaports will be underwater in the east. I did this before when man seeks after the forbidden knowledge. I put him and his technology under the ocean's water. The first thing I thought of when I got that was Atlantis. Let me see. This is like outstanding. Again, he said it several times, pray your flight is not in winter. Flee the cities, da-da-da. Now, I have another one that says slaughter and madness. Flee from the plagues and death. So we know more is coming. More plagues. Da-da-da. Bodies will be burned in the streets. I have this in other prophecies. So this is like a confirmation to several other ones that I have. Right? Da-da-da. Okay. Right. So clearly, this is it. We're at the end. Jesus is coming back. I repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in the book of Acts, Acts 2:38. Now, Brother Dan and I, we have the gift of prophecy. I get little comments here and there on things when people don't understand. We have the gift of prophecy. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We got that after being submerged, baptized. Submerged underwater. We were both sprinkled, baptized as children or babies. And then the Lord put it on me for, I'm going to say, over a year, day after day, he kept telling me to get submerged, baptized. That's what happened. Then I finally did it, and wham, I started getting the prophecy messages. I got several spiritual gifts. Then Brother Dan did the same exact thing. He started to get prophecy messages in the same way I did, after he was submerged, baptized. This is it. This is why we mentioned. This is how it happened to us. A lot of people don't understand. That's what we did. Read the book of Acts. It explains in sentences what to do. It's kind of on the easy side. If you read the whole book of Acts, you will get what's going on there. What else do I want to mention here before I forget? Okay, now, we had like a horrible past several days. Brother Dan's dad passed away. He was in the nursing home. He was a late stage Parkinson's disease. And dementia, he was at the point that he didn't know who anybody was. The poor thing. This is terrible. So he did pass away. Brother Dan was really taking it bad. So keep Brother Dan in your prayers. Now, you know he had COVID on top of everything else and all the other health issues he had. Now, today was the first day that he tested negative for COVID. I can't believe this went on. I mean, he got hammered with the COVID. Then he was sick with everything. Then his dad passed away. Then I fell twice on the floor in a panic attack. Two times I had to have my granddaughter come down and help me up the floor. Something bad happened at the nursing home. I don't want to go into the whole entire story that triggered the panic attacks. I did see, what do they call it, crisis counselors for a while. But then something else happened that triggered all of the nightmares and the panic attacks again. So keep me in your prayers on that, because I don't want to end up, my mom is in the nursing home. I don't want to end up there like how she ended up there. She has severe osteoporosis. I already have that. I've had it since I was in my 40s. And every time she would fall, she would break something, break a hand, break a wrist. What else did she break? Break her ankle. Then the final jaw was falling, broke her shoulder. And before that, she fell down the steps, get this, and had to have brain surgery and holes drilled in her head to get the pressure out. So she went through the mill with the osteoporosis and everything. So she's in the nursing home now. It's terrible. All right, let me see. Am I missing anything? Okay, let's say a prayer before I forget. God the Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Keep evil and the devil away from me and my family. Let your hand be with me always, and please don't ever let me cause anyone pain or harm. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear Lord, please pour out a blessing on all of you children and subscribers on here. I just saw we have about 100 more over the past few days. Welcome, everyone. Pour out a blessing on their life, a health blessing, a blessing on their family, a blessing on their marriage, a blessing especially on their children. Let's see, a blessing on, how about this, their employment and their car that they could get there if they have a job. Because we know prices are going up, things are difficult. So please help us, and I'm thanking you in advance for it. You always answer my prayers, so I'm thanking you in advance. All right, what else did I want to mention here? Just if you're brand new, please subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification button. This way you'll find out what's going on here. And then, now I do have some interesting playlists out there. Again, if you are new, I had a major stroke that I was supposed to never get out of the nursing home, you know, stay there like a veg, not know anything. In a diaper joint. That was my prognosis. I was never supposed to get out. But we have a playlist there, Brother Dan. I think he called it A Miracle Stroke Recovery. So you might want to check that out, especially if you have family members that had strokes and they're depressed and discouraged. Tell them, please don't be that way. I mean, I was blind. This whole left side was completely paralyzed. I couldn't walk. I couldn't speak. I had everything I could think of. My face drooped. You name it, I got it. And little by little, the Lord has been healing me and making me better. So please don't give up if you had a stroke. All right, what else did I want to mention here? Just like I said, a few prayers for some friends. Let's see, Judah, our friend Timothy, our friend Michael, our friend Jean, our friend Patty. So please keep them in your prayers. Am I missing anything? Facebook, please like and share so that it's on your page and others can see the prophecy messages. I think that's it. I better get going here. I still feel like I'm forgetting something. Everything went up. Okay, I think I'm good. So God bless you all. We love you guys. Make sure you stop by if you don't hear from us or see us to see what's going on. And have a blessed and safe day today. I know I probably look funny with this giant sweater on because it's not like going to be 90 degrees out, but it's cool actually in here because of allergies. Have a blessed and safe day. We love you guys. Oh, that's what I forgot. Thanking everyone for everything you do for us. Thank you for all of the translations under the videos. Thank you, everyone, especially that supports the ministry financially so we can help other people. I see all the prices skyrocketing and everything, and again, we had some requests we couldn't cover. So have a blessed and safe day. We love you guys, and thank you.
Welcome to another episode of Know the Truth, a Christian faith program dedicated to bringing you biblical truth that is able to save your soul. In each of these programs, you will know that we are bringing you truth that is able to bring you to that place that God wants you to be. He wants to transform your life and take you away from the sinful life that we were in before we come to know Jesus Christ. And sometimes we are living in Jesus Christ, but we're still holding on to some of the things that we were holding on to before we came to Christ. We have to let go of all these things and follow exactly what the Word of God says that we should do. Each and every moment in our life counts from the day we come to Christ going forward. God is there with us. He sees everything. So let us make it right in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God Almighty, Lord, we come to you, O God, for the salvation of souls. Lord, we pray for families. We pray for nations. We pray for, Lord God, continents. We pray for the world. Lord, we pray for leaders. We pray, O God, for those that who are preaching the word of God, who are being persecuted in nations throughout the world. We pray for the poor. We pray, O God, for those who are maligned. We pray, O God, for those who, Lord, go through all sorts of problems that you may touch their hearts, but give them a hope, O God, through the word, that you may touch this word and touch the hearts of people out there by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that everything is possible for you, Lord, and we know that you are doing this for the purpose of us, and we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In today's word, we look at the things that God has done in order for us to understand that no man can do these things but God alone. And therefore, that's what separates a man from God. God created us in his image and likeness, and he gave us authority and power on the earth to perform duties. And then when we are born again, he anoints us that we may do things in the kingdom of God for his people on his behalf. And he said, by the works that I do, at least know that I am the one, Jesus was speaking, that God sent into the earth, and him God has set his seal upon, that people may believe that I came from heaven. I am that bread that came down from heaven. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am that one that you must come through. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In no name given in the heaven by which we can be saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. So we having this truth established, we must follow and believe and know that God is the one who is doing these works to prove to us that he is God. And in John 9, where the blind man was sitting there and his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin? Is it this man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus answered them. And he said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. That night cometh, and no man can work. When darkness come upon the earth, and he was not talking about the night and the day, he was talking about darkness that will fill the earth. The darkness that is upon us even right now. This earth is a dark and dismal, adulterous place. He described it as an adulterous generation. Not adulterous in the way that we may think of it, but spiritual adultery. Turning away from God. And turn into other things that we hold more important than God. But he wants us to look around us and see what he has done over time, as he did for the children of Israel by those 10 plagues to bring them out of Egypt. And those 10 plagues that he brought about represented the 10 types of gods that Egypt was worshiping, and he was coming against the 10 types of gods that they worship. And today he comes against everything that is not of God, that does not belong to him. You say, I show you many works, and you want to stone me for this, and you want to kill me. Which one of these miracles you want to stone me for, when I have done all these great things to show you that you may believe who I am? In the 10th chapter, in the 37th verse, he said, I do not the works of my Father. If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. He said, but if I do, though you believe not, he said, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. That I belong and came from heaven. And this is what he was trying to tell them. And through him, and only through him, is eternal life. When Nicodemus went to him, remember what Nicodemus says. We know that you are from God. By the works that you do, no man can do these works except they are from God, or they have something to do with God, or they are God himself. And this is what he was saying. He tried to prove to them in all of this that he is who he is. And by the works that he do each and every day in our lives, the healing, the protection, everything, we acknowledge him. That's why he said, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. In everything, acknowledge him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. All the things that he do for us. Who forgive our iniquity. Who heals all our diseases. Who protects us from everything. He does all of this for us. And yet we do not acknowledge him and thank him. We must enter his courts with praise and his gates with thanksgiving. We must come before him in humility and in truth and ask him, Lord, I know you have done this for me, and I am grateful. And that is what blessing the Lord is, a grateful thanking from the heart. We must come to him with this. In John 15, in the 22nd verse, it said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak or covering for their sin. Because I come and I show them all the things. I did all these miracles. I did five loaves of bread, two fish, and fed 5,000 men and women and children. And you picked up after that 12 baskets full of the crumbs. And they were in the boat. And Jesus was asking them again about this. And he said, you are talking about the bread that you eat and are filled, but I am talking about the bread that comes to eternal life, whom our Father, which me, the Son of Man, can give to you, which is my life. I am the bread of life that comes to you. He said, he that hated me, hated me, hated my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, if I have not done this, then they had not their sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. He said, you've seen my works, you've seen the miracles, and yet you do not believe. Every day in our lives we see these miracles, and we do not want to believe the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. He is the only way. We do not have any other way. Every way does not profit. And this is what he says. He says, everyone that come before me is a liar and a thief. If you come any other way, you will find that you're going to the wrong way. He says, I promise you, and I come. My word that came alive now in me coming is what was written of me. I am the fulfillment of all of these things, and have now come and am doing the works that no other man have done, and yet you do not believe me. He said, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You notice what he said? He didn't say in our law. He said in their law. Why? Because law is made for the sinner. No man who does all the things that is right in the eyes of God have to worry about the law. The law is for sinners, for murderers, for everyone else that does not obey the truth of God. We have to walk. He said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. He said, you have seen my works, and you're going to testify of my works. And they wrote of his works. These are things that were written, that we may learn from them and know what Jesus did. When he healed the blind, he healed the blind man. The blind man went before the Pharisees, and they did not want to believe that he was healed. They bring his parents before him, before them, and ask them, is this your son? Yes. Was he blind? Yes. Who healed him? We do not know who healed him. But we know he was born blind and now he sees. How this happened, we do not know. But the blind man gave a testimony that him who healed me is what no man has done before. The works that he did, no man has ever done before. And that's what this is all about. If no one did it, then we have to know that these are miracles from God. If I do what no man has done, then know that this is from God. I want to take you way back to Psalm 78. And then a little bit of the rejoicing of the works that Moses and Aaron, and they came when they crossed over the Red Sea. So let us go to Psalm 78 and said, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable." And that's when he came and he spoke in parables. And his disciples asked him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He said, "Because..." And he went and referred to Isaiah the prophet. And he said, "Well, I speak to them in parables because by understanding they will not, by hearing they will not understand, by seeing they will not believe, and I will just heal them, and in the end, they will just reject me." He said, "But..." He said, "And I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done." He wants each generation to know of the works that was done, that his name will be praised, and that people will believe and trust in him. He said, "Never forget to mention it from generation to generation, what I have done." He said, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, and he commanded our fathers that they should not make them known, that they should make them known to their children." This is something to be passed on. "That the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children." He wants his works to be known. He said, "Declare my works." That's why we give a testimony. A testimony is of what God did for us, that his name will be praised. Because we trust him, we have faith in him. Because we believe him for who he is, that he's a God of miracles. "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments." His commandment is, he said, this is the commandment of God, that you believe in him who he has sent and love one another. He said, "And might not be as the fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." They had no staying power with God. They see the things that he did, and yet they turned away and did not hold to believing and trusting in him. And they moved aside very quickly. He said, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." Why they turned back? Because they did not believe. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. And he forgot and forget his works. They forget what he did. We cannot forget what God did for us. Think about Jesus Christ coming from heaven, being born of a virgin, coming to this earth in human flesh to go to the cross, to die for us, that we might be saved. He suffered. And his wonders that he had shown them, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime, as he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. It says, the rock would follow them in the wilderness. That rock was Christ. Christ was with them throughout. And here it comes. "And he clave the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths." And that is Christ in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 4. "And he brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers." And when they crossed, they started rejoicing. And I want to take you to Exodus and hear a little bit of this rejoicing as they enjoyed everything that they were thanking God for. They crossed across the river. They crossed across the sea in Exodus 15. And this is the rejoicing, he said. He said, and then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had thrown into the sea. Their enemy were hurled into the sea. The Egyptians who came after them, who held them in bondage for 400 years, are now thrown into the sea by the strength of God. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He's my God, and I will prepare him an habitation for my father's God, and I will exalt him. We prepare a habitation for God in this heart. The Holy Spirit that comes to live in us. This is a temple of God, and we must keep it as a temple. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts had he cast into the sea. His chosen captains all drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, and they sank into the bottom as a stone. He destroyed all the strength that they had, even at the time when they felt that they were the strongest army in the world. He said, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. In thy right hand, O Lord, had dashed the enemy to pieces. In Isaiah 52 in verses 10 and in Isaiah 53, you say, who did the Lord bear his holy arm to? Who did he show his strength? Who did he show his power to? Is it not the people of Israel, that they may believe him and trust him for who he is? And this is what he's saying. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among all the gods, the demigods? Who is like thee, glorious and holiest, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy hand, and the earth swallowed them. And he was talking about Dathan and Abiram and they, when they were swallowed up. And he's still talking about it here, that they swallowed up all of them in the sea, in the Red Sea. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which has redeemed, thou hast redeemed, and guided them in the strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear, and they shall be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. And up to today, we have that war going on. You talk about Edom and Moab and the children of Canaan, and all of these people, they will fear, and they will be amazed when they see what God is doing for a people that he has chosen out of another nation to bring them out to possess the land that is full of milk and honey that is prepared. That's we are. He has taken out of the place of darkness and brought us into a place of marvelous light, into the dominion of his son, into a place that he wants us to be. Let us not in any way discount or minimize or put away the things that God is doing for us and think of it as simple and as nothing. God is in every day in our lives working. He's doing these things to prove to us that he's a God that never sleeps. He is never weary. He's never tired. He is not the person the man is who would lie. He's a God that changeth not. He's a God who's faithful. We can believe and trust him. We know what he did before, he will do again. And we continue to hold to that which is right. So let us believe him for this and continue to give a testimony of all that he's doing in our lives. Let us trust him with all our heart. So right now, let us ask him to help us to forgive others and to clean our hearts, that we may come before him and ask him for his salvation. So ask him right now to help you clean your heart of unforgiveness, of anything. and then say this prayer of salvation with me and mean it with all your heart. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, forgive me for all of my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose on the third day. I believe only through you is eternal life. I believe you are coming again for us. I thank you, Father, for this love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, believe for your healing. You will feel the touch of God in you right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, remove everything that's not of God from us and fill us with the fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Remove every sickness, every pain from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet in the name of Jesus. Lord, remove everything now that's not of God. Every sickness, every pain. Yes, Lord. Open new doors for us, Father. And let us continue to see the works that you're doing in our life and give you the praise and glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Continue to listen to these programs, to view them, and share them with your friends so that they too may enjoy the grace that you are enjoying in the life of Jesus Christ. Continue to be a person who's spreading the truth by spreading these messages to your friends. In YouTube, you can go and look at Know the Truth, Pastor James, and see all the previous programs and those that will be coming each week as they are presented. We thank you for your attention. We thank you again for everything that you are doing to come to that place that God needs you to. Read your Bibles. Continue to pray. Continue to stand in the gap for your family, for the nation, for nations of the world. Since we are in a situation where God wants us to be better than the rest of the world, we are in a place to shine as lights. Let us do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Greetings in the most holy, perfect, awesome name, the name that is above every name, both in heaven and in earth, both time and throughout all of eternity. It is the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And welcome to another End Times for the Believers Bible Prophecy Update. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 again. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There is so much there. We see in several different prophetic warnings that in the last days, deception would be rampant throughout society, and the Lord warns his people to be very careful not to be deceived. And the Apostle Paul here in stating to his son in the faith, Timothy, that which would characterize the latter times. He tells us that there will be those who, as a result of doctrines of devils and the seduction of evil spirits, that some will actually depart from the faith. And thus we are warned to take heed. Coupled with teachings from the dark side, there will be those who will depart from the faith. I am going to return back to that opening text in a few minutes. But first, I would like to take a moment to reflect upon the past and the present. Bible prophecy, both students and scholars alike, have searched far and wide to find a little gold prophetic nugget that would encourage the body of Christ that indeed we are near the end. Of course, the super sign was in 1948 when the nation of Israel became an established nation. At that point right there, the prophetic time clock began to tick. But only in these past 2 years has there been such a ramping up of prophetic fulfillments everywhere we look. It doesn't matter. Whenever a significant piece of news comes out, it has a prophetic connotation to it, so that indeed we are living in the last of the last days. Would you join with me for a moment in prayer? Dear, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I implore you this day that by virtue of your grace and your mercy, because of the virtue of the blood of Jesus, because of the most profound sacrifice he made in our stead, so that we might receive from you grace for grace. Lord, I pray that your word will communicate to our hearts this day your hearts. Lord, I never know who will be listening, who will be turning on at what point in time in their lives, but I do believe there are always those who you have appointed to listen to the Bible prophecy update with a specific goal in mind, and that is to bless them, to encourage their hearts, or perhaps even to warn. I consider this day, Lord, no exception. And so I thank you for those who will be touched by this message in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. Reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, we see something here regarding the last days. It speaks to us about the deniers. Even in light of the voluminous prophetic fulfillments before our eyes, there still are those that we would refer to as deniers. Peter put it this way, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We see there in the fifth verse that these are willingly ignorant, as if to choose their closing of their hearts and their minds. They don't want to know the truth. Even in light of prior fulfillments of prophecy that pointed to cataclysmic judgments, such as the judgment of the flood, even in the light of these things and so many other fulfillments of prophecies, they refuse to acknowledge the evidence that is before them that demands but one verdict, the one verdict alone, that the word of God is powerful and sharp and mighty. It does what God intends it to do. And the word of the Lord speaks to this generation in many different prophetic tones. Again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, we read, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There can be only one person. The he is the Holy Spirit working through the body of Christ. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. We are talking about the Antichrist, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they, the next two words there, received not, they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so we see here that they refuse to receive the love of the truth. And again in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, the same point of a willful choice to reject the truth of God. In Romans chapter 1 verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That came only after a rejection of the truth, of the light of God. They did not even want to think about God. And so we see here, first of all, I believe, a reference to the dimension of the Spirit. We are seeing here in these three passages a focus upon the choice of the heart. And once that consummates and the heart chooses to reject the love of the truth, there is the secondary level, which is the physical or the flesh, the cognitive part of man, the mind. And the mind rejects the truth following the heart rejecting the truth. Interestingly enough, there have been many, many studies that really became perfected in the early 1960s, having to do with what psychologists refer to as the normalcy bias. Normalcy bias is a mental state that you enter into when confronted with an overwhelming threat. It makes you disbelieve your situation when faced with grave and imminent danger. Initially hypothesized in 1961, this phenomenon causes you to underestimate the severity and the most likely consequences. We are most definitely observing a most sad and tragic underestimation of what is about to come. The judgment of God is beginning to emerge in the world. And most are eating, drinking, given in marriage, and they do not realize that just around the corner, the flood of the fiery indignation and wrath of God. And so we see first the heart rejects the truth, and then the mind dismisses the truth. And in part, we understand that phenomena of the cognitive aspect of man, his mind, being referred to as a normalcy bias. Normalcy bias is a cognitive bias which leads people to disbelieve or minimize threat warnings. Consequently, individuals underestimate the likelihood of a disaster when it might affect them, and its potential adverse effects. Oh, sure. They've been saying that for such a long, long time, since the fathers fell asleep. The normalcy bias causes many people to not adequately prepare for natural disasters, market crashes, and calamities caused by human error. About 70% of people reportedly display normalcy bias during a disaster. The normalcy bias can manifest in response to warnings about disasters and actual catastrophes. Such disasters include market crashes, and we just made reference to that again. And so we see the cognitive part of man, his mind. After the heart rejects, the mind dismisses. And the mind literally cannot accept the reality that is before it. It chooses to believe that things are normal. Things cannot go down that trajectory point of judgment or calamity or disaster. And of course, there is the other dimension, the other element of this deception that the Bible tells us about will be rampant in the last days, of heart and mind. And these two aspects of our humanity are manipulated by evil spirits, seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 tells us, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so the all-familiar saying or word from the dark side goes something like this. Hath God really said? Will a loving God really do all these terrible things to his creation that he loves so much? Hath God said? The bottom line is this. We are living in the last days, and the Bible is replete with prophecies that speak to the world regarding the events that are surely going to come to pass. As sure as there was a flood, so there shall be a final judgment in the earth before our Savior places his feet upon the Mount of Olives and then begins to establish his millennium reign for 1,000 years, which will be followed by a final cataclysmic event when God will roll up the heavens and he will make a new heavens and a new earth. We are living in the last of the last days. So many things are happening that point to that reality. Things, some of which are common knowledge to us today, but speak to us about prophecies that would characterize the last days. One of those typical prophecies is our Lord Jesus, who told us that there would be issues pertaining to pestilence. In fact, I looked up that word pestilence quickly, and it is found no less than 48 times in both the Old and New Testament. And almost inevitably, it is used in the context of God judging a people. The Lord has used pestilence time and time and time again to judge those who reject the love of the truth.
We're so advanced, we're so clever, and yet a tiny virus can cause havoc around the world. DW's Nina Raddy takes a look at just how we got here.
COVID-19 is an unprecedented global health emergency in many ways, but the emergence of the new disease is also part of an alarming pattern.
Scientists say the number of new infectious diseases in humans like SARS, MERS, and COVID-19 has risen dramatically over the last decades. A study showed that the number of emerging infectious diseases in humans almost quadrupled between 1940 and 2000. An especially large spike in the 1980s was attributed to diseases linked to the HIV/AIDS epidemic. And there's not just more types of diseases. The number of outbreaks is rising too. In fact, the number of outbreaks of all diseases has roughly tripled since 1980.
If you sat down systematically and counted up the number of new infections that we have identified, it has increased. We continue to see increasing infectious disease outbreaks caused by bacteria or viruses that we did not previously know. We have created the circumstances on Earth that make it likely that this will continue.
In verse 25 of Leviticus chapter 26, we read this. Again, one of some 48. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. The United States, I believe, is under the judgment of God. And I have been sharply criticized for referring to the United States of America as the modern day Babylon or daughter of Babylon. And there is latitude there. I can understand there being difference. But whether we are the modern day daughter of Babylon or not, this nation is under judgment. And one of the principal proofs of that judgment is, in fact, pestilence. And pestilence has played a major role in the decline of our nation. And to deny that is to deny the reality that is before us. Maybe the United States of America is Babylon, modern-day Babylon, and again, there are some strong reasons why one might conclude that, as this nation is the only prosperous nation that fits the description of the modern-day Babylon. But putting that aside, what we do know is that judgment is coming upon not only this nation, but upon the world. And whether it be because God is entitling us as Babylon per se, or the leader of Babylon, or the leader of the system, is immaterial. That is semantical. What is important for us to understand and not to reject because of some normalcy bias, the fact that this nation is under the judgment of God. There are those who decry such statements as if it's a unfair, unwarranted, unjustified statement that would be made by someone like myself. And I know I am joined with many far more respectable and known individuals. Billy Graham's, his wife, Ruth Graham, was notorious to be, when she made the statement that if God doesn't judge America, he will owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. This great nation of ours, and I am not disparaging against those hard-working, God-fearing, law-abiding citizens that made this country great from the beginning of when our forefathers crossed the ocean and came with a mission to establish this nation as a city on a shining hill. My remarks are not to disparage those individuals who shed their blood in order to gain the freedom of this nation.
I mean, I sincerely believe in this old world that everything is beautiful. I mean, if I wake up in the morning and see these plants out here and all those flowers that are in there and the green grass on the ground, that's beautiful. And people don't realize what they have. They bitch about it. And then nowadays, I am so upset that the things we did and the things we fought for and the boys that died for it, it's all gone down the drain. Our country's gone to hell in a handbasket. We haven't got the country we had when I was raised. Not at all. Nobody will have the fun I had. Nobody will have the opportunity I had. It's not the same. That's not what I was. That's not what they died for. It's not it. I'm so sorry. I'll be all right. Just takes me time to get over it. Why me sitting here like this? See, all this going on. Emily, it's just not the same. That isn't what we fought for.
The sad thing is at some point in time, some generations ago, there was an opening of the door to satanic influence. No one can deny that. As a matter of fact, that door was open wide, very, very wide, and the influences of the dark side became rampant throughout this nation, and it allowed for a select few to rise up and to rule behind the curtain, if you will. And the decisions that these unappointed, self-appointed oligarchs, these individuals, these kings without a kingdoms, they have been ruling behind the scenes, not only influencing this nation, but throughout history. These individuals are the ones that are responsible for the terrible things, at least in part, that this nation, our nation itself, is now has as a part of its history. We have plundered many nations. We have gone into those nations with the intention, with the guise that we're trying to establish democracy. But in reality, those select, those global elites behind the scenes, always having an eye toward the financial gain and the resources of other nations. We see what took place in Iraq. We see what took place and is taking place in Afghanistan. Even now, havoc is occurring in this nation that we impacted in such a serious, significant way. Take a look at this video.
The war in Ukraine is largely responsible for a big spike in food prices. Now, they say their food price index jumped more than 12% from February to March, and that's the biggest month-to-month jump ever recorded. Grains like wheat, oat, and corn went up in price more than 17%. Russia and Ukraine together account for about a quarter of global wheat and corn exports. The rising prices have spurred fears of a worldwide hunger crisis, especially across the Middle East and Africa. Now, the report comes just days after the UN said poverty had reached a breaking point in Afghanistan, and out of desperation, some parents are taking almost unbelievably drastic steps.
People are already selling their children and their body parts in order to feed their families.
A CBS News crew spoke with a number of men who all now have this same scar from having their kidneys removed. They sold them for thousands of dollars on the black market. Afghanistan was already one of the poorest countries, but when the Taliban seized power last year, millions were plunged further into poverty. It's estimated 95% of Afghans don't have enough to eat.
If that doesn't break your heart, and the reality is, this is only a small fraction of the satanic, diabolical schemes that have been underway that we as a nation, per se, have been involved in against other nations. you will know that both the Old Testament, first of all, from many, many millennium ago, that there was always the God of Molech, that would children would be offered to this God. Well, there's not too much that I can say about this subject, but I will say this. One does not need to spend much time in research before your heart is broken when you begin to understand what these here evil group, these cabals, if you will, have for their epitaph having to do with precious innocent children. This nation is under the very judgment of God for a myriad of reasons, some of which we've just noted and publicly in terms of Afghanistan, much, much more that cannot be discussed in public. And so we see the hunger and the starvation and these individuals walking about with scars because it was necessary to feed their families. And so they donated parts of their bodies and children being offered. And it's heartbreaking. And the food shortages, the famine, which is another judgment of God. Now, understand, God is not the one who physically creates the famine or all these other judgments. They come as a result of the Lord lifting up his love and care to where he was once a shield of protection, a refuge, a strong tower. The Lord begins to withdraw his care and his influence because of rejecting him at hand. And so what are we seeing now? We're seeing the beginning throes of food shortages. We just noted what took place and is taking place in Afghanistan. We might also mention the terrible atrocities that are going on right now in Ukraine. And much can be said about that too. We are not innocent as a nation, at least those who are in these key positions. And they are not representing the people. There is something going on in terms of our government, and it is not reflecting the voice of the people. Nevertheless, the judgment of God has fallen upon this nation and other nations as well. And because of this food shortages that we are seeing beginning to take place, and it clearly is engineered, it's always engineered. It's something that is intended, once again, by certain kings who have no kingdoms in order to create a dependency upon their ability to take care of us, that we might be their beckoning, S-L-A-V, and then the last letter is S. And we are impotent as a nation, as if we can't even put an end to this stuff. We voice our concerns, and yet what is being done? Nothing. And if perhaps at some point, as some are suggesting, the clear civil unrest that is stirred up in this nation might soon become a hotly contested civil war. And what will be our line of defense? It once would have been an upstanding military, but today our military is no longer the military of yesterday. Our military has been for some time now, beginning under the Obama administration, being gutted out, taking all those conservatives, those individuals who held to Christian ideals, and they were being and are being systematically removed. Our men and women in uniform, those who have been asked to sacrifice their lives, who have gone out on countless different missions and tours of duty, oftentimes for ridiculous reasons and engagements, risking their lives. Now under the Biden administration, they are being rewarded by being casting them out as potential domestic terrorists. They are being looked upon, that is, these patriots, these who hold to the Christian, Western Judeo-Christian principles, and it doesn't matter whether we're white or black or brown, this is a non-issue there. They are being referred to as ticking time bombs of white supremacy. And you don't have to be white, by the way, to be accused of being white supremacists. If the current civil unrest again becomes a hotly contested civil war, there will be blood on the streets. And I, for one, have no confidence in our military. But that's okay. Some may trust in horses, some in chariots. But as for me, and I mean this from the very deepest recess of my heart, I will remember the name of the Lord my God. There is such liquid, almost cataclysmic events that are unfolding in the world. We are seeing so many different things emerging and converging. Even heads of states, leadership, one of the aspects of the judgment of God is realized in terms of a nation's leadership. And in the case of the world, who stands out today as being a true leader? None. Just today, we discovered that Boris Johnson, the head of the United Kingdom, the great British royalty, here he resigned because of corruption and mismanagement and leadership, and he simply got caught. We have Israel without a prime minister, ready to go into another series of votes. What is all that about? And then you have nations such as ours who are being occupied, our leadership, our presidency is being occupied by what many believe to be an illegitimate occupier. So we see the heads of governments being moved about like puppets, and God is judging this nation. Whether or not we affirm to this nation being Babylon or not, there is a vacuum that is clearly being created for that one person who is going to step up on the scenes very soon, I believe, and is going to seemingly have all the answers. He's going to be so well spoken, so wise, so astute, so charismatic, and even apparently possessing capacities to demonstrate supernatural events. So much so that the world is going to be mesmerized and at awe. And so the bias to not believe the truth will be reversed, and there will be a bias to believe the lie in order to maintain what the society and the masses will believe is a normalcy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want to take a moment right now, that being my opening verse. I want to illustrate a point here, that being what these seducing spirits do. They are so subtle, and they have a strategy. It is a strategy to divide, to break fellowship between the saints. Last week, as some of you may note, I closed my message by referring, sharing my opinion that the United States might very well be that Babylon spoken of in Jeremiah 50 and 51. There were some concerns expressed about that. And here's the point that I want to make. It really doesn't matter whether the United States is that Babylon or not. What matters is the enemy trying to use differences of opinion when they are not based upon foundational truths and dividing us and trying to conquer us as we are divided. I did refer to Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, verse 9, verse 14, verse 51 and 11, referring to the smart missiles of an enemy that would come from the north. I still believe that those smart missiles are directed towards this nation, whether or not we agree it's Babylon or not. These are the realities that we are facing today. Can I say dogmatically that there will be missiles flying from the north to hit our nation, at least in the immediate future? Of course not. But what I can say is this. The United States is a leading entity currently in this world. And the Bible prophetically does not make reference to this nation as being a player in the last days. All the other nations that are significant, that have roles in the world and governments, are mentioned, and we are not. And we know that Babylon at some point is going to be destroyed. And all the merchants of the world that conducted its trade with that Babylon, looking at that city and seeing it burn up in flames, I'm inclined to believe it's New York. But that doesn't matter. The seducing spirits and doctrines of devils will try to get these here differences of opinion and cause us to despise each other. In some instances, if you read some of the comments, not so much on our channel, but most definitely in some of the larger, broader ministries, some of the comments by so-called Christians against teachers and pastors simply because they are sharing a viewpoint that they may not agree, they're from the pit. Those are the doctrines of devils. The teachings of devils are the teachings that tell us we're to hate our brother. When God tells us we are to guard our hearts, we are to see to it that we do not retain bitterness against the brethren, especially for no justifiable reason. Even then, we are to walk in forgiveness. Forgive us this day our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so, the point is this. We may not all agree upon some of the interpretations of Bible prophecy. That, the Bible tells us, will be a reality. None of us have cornered the market on perfect interpretation of Bible prophecy. But there are some very fundamental points that God wants us to heed when it comes to our differences. And those fundamental points has to do with a portion of scripture I am about to read. And it may be, in fact, I'm inclined to say this, the most important part of today's message. There is power in the words that I am about to quote from God's holy book, the Bible. They are words that have to do with not the doctrine of devils, but the doctrine and teaching of the Almighty. And in heeding these words, we will do well and we will progress onward and we will be ready when the trump of God sounds. Now I'm about to read these here words, and I once again want to underscore the fact that the Bible tells us to be careful about the posture of our hearts. Here we go. Lord, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things, it endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. For now we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us that in these last days, we are to be looking up. May I suggest to you who have an heart to hear, eyes to see, ears to hear, that at least in part that looking up is not a mere gazing for a visual observation of something pertaining to the rending of the skies, as much as looking up in the sense of the will of God. Having a mind and a heart to want to know and to obey the will of God. Looking up, not looking down inwardly, not looking before us in order that we might somehow achieve to be the best person that we can in this life, but looking up as to be surrendering our hearts to the one who came down for us. And so I close with a very important psalm. And that psalm, I believe, represents, at least to me, what I hope that God sees in my heart in response to his admonition to watch, to look up, and to pray. It is an expression of King David's heart regarding the Lord's desire for David to be looking up. And so we read here in the fifth and the first verse of Psalm 5, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Amen. And now for a few very brief moments before my daughter and I do something special. I want to talk to some of you. You're not looking up. You're looking down. You're looking forward. And there's nothing good to see down. Nothing good to see in us, in our hearts. There is only darkness there. For the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. But God is saying, look up, my beloved. Lift your vision higher. Look unto me, the one who created you, the one who loved you and held you in his heart, even before he laid the foundation of this world. You were already on his mind and on his heart. And the things he did and continues to do have always been with a mind and a thought process toward you. But today, you must do something to receive that love. You must open your heart. You must invite the King of Kings to come into your life and to wash away all the vileness of your sins. Or what is awaiting you is the same that is awaiting the devil and his fallen angels. There will be no intermediate place. There will be no limbo where you'll be able to in time burn off and pay for the sins of your life. If that were the case, there would have been no need for Jesus to go through what he did. He suffered the way he did because sin is as vile as it is. But God is saying to you right now, if you want to make your heart right with him, and you need to pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart by saying the following words. And again, God sees the heart. You may be driving. You may be doing something. And you have to set that something aside for a moment because your heart's beating real fast right now. And God is speaking to you and he's saying, all right, this is your time. And it may be your last time. I don't know. Repeat these words after me and mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this day, believing in you. I've always believed that you loved me, but I never really opened my heart and invited you into my life. At times I thought I did, but now I know I did not. I know that in my heart, there remains a sense of guilt, and I want and ask for your forgiveness today. And I ask for your forgiveness based upon what you have said in your word, that if I would believe in Jesus, that if I would confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is Lord, that he came to this world for the specific mission of dying for my sins. I believe that, Lord, and I confess to you this day, I am a sinner. And I pray for your forgiveness. I ask that you would take the precious blood of Jesus somehow and wash away all my sins, the sins of yesterday, sins of today, and even the sins of tomorrow. I accept you now by faith into my life, and I believe, according to your word, I am saved. I am ready to be with you. Should you come tonight? Should you come tomorrow? Should you come in the next few moments? I am ready. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. And now we close with this very special word. May you be blessed as we minister it in melody, in Jesus' name. There is something about this fifth psalm that speaks of an intimacy between David and the Lord. And I sincerely believe it ought to represent the posture of our own hearts before the Lord, to have that intimate bond of love and respect toward Him is more important than anything else. And so I hope that you will listen to this song, not so much in terms of its melody, but maybe by the grace of God, you will see, like I have just seen, the heart of a man or a woman postured in love before God, responding to the call of the Lord to both pray and to watch.
Give you. Indeed, we are looking up. Maranatha, my friends, he is coming. He is coming soon, very soon. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you.